First of all, I would like to thank my collaborators, Pallavi Sharma, Amita Parekh, Kimberly Thomas, and Kathleen Newell of the Office of Women's Health, and also Lena Albujari, who is with the Center for Drugs at the FDA as well. And you'll see this if you go to a number of presentations by government officials. We're all required to have this disclaimer, which says these views are solely mine and not necessarily the policy of the FDA. In 2005, there were 15.8 million people in the U.S. diagnosed with diabetes. This includes 8 million women. 6.7% of men and 7.7% of women are diabetic. Minorities account for a disproportionate number of diabetics, with 13.1% of African Americans and 10.1% of Hispanics, compared to 5.5% of Caucasians. Diabetes is becoming more common in the U.S. From 1980 to 2005, the number of Americans with diabetes increased from 5.6 million to 15.8 million. It's expected to continue with an increase in the prevalence of major risk factors like obesity, and also population dynamics indicate that the greatest growth will be among elderly women and minorities. These are both groups that are at high risk for diabetes. This graph shows the age-adjusted prevalence of diabetes by race and sex from 1980 to 2005. The data shows that diabetes is increasing in all groups. However, minorities have been and continue to be disproportionately affected by diabetes. It is very important that drugs used to manage diabetes are both safe and effective in subpopulation. This is true because minorities have the highest incidence of diabetes-related complications. African Americans and Hispanic diabetics have the highest rates of end-stage renal disease. Rates of lower extremity amputation is highest among blacks compared to whites, and stroke rates are also higher among black diabetics. Women with diabetes are also at greater risk for heart disease and first fatal event when compared to male diabetics and female non-diabetics. Women with diabetes have a higher rate of prevalence of mobility limitations when compared to their male counterparts. Also, visual impairments are more common among women as compared to men. The question is, why is the FDA interested in this? This seems like a CDC issue. The FDA is the agency that is responsible for protecting the public health by assuring the safety and efficacy of drugs, biologics, devices, foods, and cosmetics. And the FDA does realize that it is important that subpopulations have both safe and effective drugs. And they do require that clinical trials include the population who will be likely to use the medications once they are approved. The FDA has several current regulations that pertain to the inclusion of subgroups in clinical trials. The 1998 demographic rule requires that new drug submissions analyze for both safety and efficacy by gender, age, and race. The 2000 clinical hold rule also allows the FDA to stop a clinical trial if women are excluded from the clinical trial because of their reproductive potential. In 1992, the Government Accountability Office did a study called the Women's Health. FDA needs to ensure more study of gender differences in prescription drugs. It concluded that the FDA was not currently adequately ensuring the representativeness of women in clinical trials because women were underrepresented. The 2001 GAO report concluded that the participation of women had increased and that they were adequately represented except in early phase trials or for some type of therapeutic modalities such as cardiovascular treatments, and that the reviews did not always look at sex differences in the reviews and that this should be done routinely. It is important that women and minorities be included in these clinical trials because it is known that they have different safety and efficacy profiles. This is one example. This is another GAO report, and it shows that in the 10 drugs removed from the market between 1997 and 2000, 8 of these had higher risk in women. And if you look in the column on the right-hand side, these are not minor side effects. These are very serious side effects. In a recently published study in the New England Journal of Medicine, Kahn reported that the risk of fracture, looking at ADOPT study data, was higher for women than men taking diabetes medications. And if you look at the first column for rosiglitazone, you'll see that there is a nearly threefold increase in the risk of fracture for women compared to men. The Office of Women's Health was founded in 1994. It is our mission to protect and advance the health of women through policy, science, and outreach, and to advocate for the inclusion of women in clinical trials. The purpose of the study that I'm presenting today is to evaluate if women and minorities are enrolled in clinical trials for oral diabetes drugs in proportion to their prevalence of diabetes. I looked at clinical trial data available in the electronic document room at the FDA for oral diabetes drugs. These were drugs approved between 1999 and 2000. I was able to obtain data on 69 studies included in 4 new drug applications for diabetes drugs. In 59 of the studies, race was coded as Caucasian, African American, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, or other. In 10 studies, race was coded only as Caucasian, African American, or other, and sex was recoded across these studies to a common M and F for male and female format. There were 7,000 participants in these 69 studies. 39% were female, 61% were male, and these were all studies done in the adult population with a mean age of 58 years. Race was available on all but 34 participants. 78% were coded as Caucasian, 6% were coded as African American, and 15.5% were coded other non-Caucasian or non-African American. For the 59 trials with an expanded racial breakdown, 78% were Caucasian, 6% were African American, Hispanic, or Asian, and less than 1% were coded as Native American. This slide compares the proportion of diabetes in the population for male and females, indicated by the blue bar, to the proportion of the population in clinical trials for male and female in the clinical trials. While men account for 49% of diabetes patients in the population, they account for over 61% in clinical trials. And while women account for 51% in the population, they account for only 39% of participants in clinical trials. If we look at this comparison, looking at clinical trial enrollment by race, you'll see that while African Americans account for nearly 17% of diabetics in the U.S. population, they account for less than 6% of clinical trial enrollees, while Caucasians seem to be fairly well represented in clinical trials as compared to the U.S. population. If we break this down looking at race and sex at the same time, you'll see that white males are overrepresented, while white females are also underrepresented in clinical trials. And if you look at the African Americans, both African American male and female are 2 to 3 times less likely to be in clinical trials than how the rates occur in the population. And you'll see, especially African American females, it's nearly 3 times lower than the rate that occurs in the population. In conclusion, we feel that women and minorities are definitely underrepresented in trials for oral diabetes drugs, and that we need to continue to monitor this to ensure that these groups are adequately enrolled in clinical trials. And this is also very important because with the increase in morbidity and mortality in minorities, it's important that these drugs be tested in this population. And not to end on a bad note, I want to talk about what we need to do in the future. It was very difficult to get this data together. Everything was coded in a different way. Some of the electronic formats were PDF files, not a SAS transport file or even Excel file. We are working with other departments within the FDA to strengthen the infrastructure so it will be known while the clinical trials are going on if women and minorities are not being enrolled, rather than after the drug is approved and out for use. We have also last year funded an initiative within FDA asking scientists in the center to provide us with data on the drugs that they review to let us know how often women and minorities are being enrolled. We also are always looking for partners, either within the agency or without, to see if there are things that could be done to encourage women and minorities to participate in clinical trials. Thank you.